Pickaxe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Triforce podcast.
Woohoo!
This week, hey. We're on the road, like real podcasts do. But actually, Lewis is visiting my garage this week in Jersey.
By on the road, you mean off the road in the garage. The car has driven
Don't
off the road.
Spoil the image of a roadcast. The roadcast, all right? Just let it sit. Let the roadcast sit. I'm missing out. I'm still at home in my... what some people have confused for a prison or hospital bedroom because of the bed behind me, which does look like a prison or hospital issue bed, but no, it's my spare room.
I never thought about it, but actually now come to think of it, having seen some of your live streams and stuff, it does look like you're in like a nursing home bedroom or something.
Yeah. For special people.
Yeah.
I am special.
Special old people who need extra care.
Yeah.
It occurs to me now that maybe this bed is the only real thing in my life, right?
Maybe.
And maybe this bed is actually real, and all this stuff that I'm doing with the internet and having a wife and a family is completely fabricated in my own mind. And this bed is, and people keep people pointing out that it's a fake, you know, that it's a hospital bed. They're real, and they're trying to point out to me, look, this is all fake. And I'm just like, no, this is real. I really do make stupid videos on the internet for a living, and yeah, this is my life.
I'm not being held hostage, but please send help
please
quickly.
Send help. My life is like the Truman Show, and everybody's watching.
But
me
I don't
all the time.
Know it. I don't know it yet. This hospital bed is my one anchor to reality, and I reject it. I say no, it's not real. Good God, I need to have a lie down.
Good God,
lie down
so
on
much
my hospital
like,
bed.
Much like the Antiques Roadshow, like I said, we're on the road. We don't have the usual recording setup, so if there's like weird echoes or like technical problems, you're just going to have to go somewhere with that.
I think they should go straight to Reddit and post a scathing comment about it.
I think so,
would be good.
I think one thing we learned from Reddit this week is that Pyrion is apparently an idiot.
I'm the idiot. I'm like the idiot. Yeah. That's what I'm known for. Stupid old P-Flags. What an idiot.
Out of the three of us, you're the idiot?
No, out of all of us. Out of the entire Yogscast, I'm the idiot.
Oh my gosh.
I'm the idiot one.
Man.
Like, that's apparently... And then people were like, I thought that was your thing. I was like, I didn't even realize that was my thing. I'm such an idiot.
That's quite so the accomplishment. The I mean, you're grouped in there with, like, idiots like Terps and... all of Hatfield.
No, but wasn't there like the that classic trifecta of was it Larry, Curly, and Moe or whatever? One of them was the idiot, one of them was the wise guy, and one of them was the
it was a thread about what people think of the Yogscast, like people and how the I can't even remember the context actually, but someone said that the Reddit sort of hive mind had decided that I was the idiot.
It's not fair, is it?
That's not really fair,
It's not fair.
I mean, they have to give you a chance, right? What did people think about Lewis, for instance?
They said he was an even bigger idiot. No, I don't know.
Oh,
they didn't say.
That's
they
great.
Didn't say.
Man.
That's what I wanted to hear. Man. Oh, my gosh.
That may have been my comment.
Let me explain to you the situation right now. I'm sat in Sips's garage, which I keep saying weirdly now because you say, how do you pronounce it?
Garage.
Do you want me to turn the heat on? Are you cold or are you okay?
So it is chilly. I was sneezing
a moment
ago.
You guys hold the fort.
You're going to turn the heating on. Yeah. Let me explain. So I came to see the garage earlier in the year, and it was a proper garage. You know, it had oil brown oil stain, sort of a stank of engine oil up here.
Oh, nice.
You know, it was kind of too, it was one of these garages that was too, looked too small to fit a car in. But somebody, when they built it, obviously they realized they only had a certain amount of land. And they, yeah. they pushed it right to the boundaries of this property, didn't they?
It was built in the time when every English person owned only a Mini Cooper.
That's right. And so, you know, and also, if you pulled a Mini Cooper in here, it was almost like you had to push your wing mirrors in before you drove it into the garage.
Yeah,
you know?
And then you had to park with the passenger side right up against the
wall.
Yeah,
and so whoever was in the passenger side either had to get out before you drove in, or they had to sort of carefully climb across to the other seat to get out, and then even then when the driver was getting out, he had to be careful not to scrape the door on the wall. So yeah, it's pretty titchy, but it's scrubbed up nice. I mean, in here now, it used to have big brown sort of stains on the wall. They're still here. I noticed some of them were patched up. I'm looking at right now at a snail on the ceiling.
Yeah,
that kind of gives you an idea of how cozy Sips has made this place.
A mascot, you got to have. I don't
it's
have
an
any
actual,
pets.
So. Looks, Sips,
all my pets have perished, so now this is my
some
new one.
Ants down there. You know, I mean, it's like it doesn't feel like we're inside a professional recording studio. It feels like we're in a garage where Sips has glued some packing materials to the wall.
Yeah,
and
well,
is that rough
the case?
Soundproofing?
Is that what he's done?
I said to him yesterday, it's 100 times better than it was, but it still needs a bit of TLC in here.
It sounds great. Like, honestly, it sounds great.
Pyrian, you can probably appreciate this. You know, I'm a dad.
Yeah.
I got two kids.
Yep.
I don't have a lot of time on my hands.
Yeah. No.
So when I get down and dirty and do something, it's pretty half-assed.
Yep. It's not
getting done 100%. Like, you have to weigh things up. You have to prioritize.
It's not going
to
be done.
You
50%.
Get pretty good at prioritizing.
Yeah, so really good.
All of these, like, things that, you know, your typical millennial would start to complain about don't affect me because I'm a hardcore dad.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, whatever. You know, a couple brown stains, I can deal with that.
Absolutely.
A little snail who's
Do you even know what these
dead.
Brown stains are?
That snail is totally dead.
What are those brown stains over there?
Stuck to the ceiling now. I don't know. It's like, I think it's like glue from the roof or something that's just like started to come through.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's just like, there's little things like that. But, I mean, imagine having a workshop in your garage, you know? I'm actually looking
so
at
sweet.
A picture of Fallout 4 right now. You know, like that iconic picture of the power armor sitting inside the garage. Looks a bit rusty. There's a bit junk everywhere and stuff, but still looks like a kind of cool place to live and work.
Yeah.
My garage is not really like that, but I like to think that it is like
nice.
That.
Yeah, it does remind me of that. It reminds me of this sort of area that you would have the garage door open and you'd get a workbench there and you'd saw some stuff and you'd hammer some stuff together.
Instead of the dog, just put like a dead snail on the ceiling instead and you're halfway there.
Suspicious stains.
It
here
looks
and
very
there.
Alive to me. Or else it wouldn't still be stuck on there, would it?
Yeah.
Do you know what what it comes down to is, and I am the same way, I'll half-ass any job in this house at the drop of, not at the drop of a hat, but maybe 3 days after you've dropped the hat, I'll get round to it, right?
So, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
The point is this, I've already got a mate for life in my wife, and we've got the kids and everything. I don't need to impress anybody by having a spotless house with everything squared away and
exactly.
I'm very timely. You know, you just accept me as the dad I am now, not the dad you want me to be. I tell my kids that daily when I disappoint them.
Yeah, me too.
This
Mine
is what
really
daddy is, all right? This is the daddy you've got. Deal with that, all right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
My wife doesn't appreciate it, but she should. Deal with this.
She should.
This is
Deal with that. I agree. I get exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah.
But no, it's a decent dad garage. It does the job for now. I agree with Lewis. Maybe it could use like a little bit of extra work sort of thing. But much like your old folks' home that you record from, you know, sometimes you just think, fuck it. I'm happy with this, you know? I don't give a shit what
anyone
else thinks.
I'm happy with this cast iron bed frame with stains from where the last person died on it. You know, it's
old-ass toys, like, on shelves behind me and, like, you know,
creepy clown
frilly curtains
costume
that we don't
hanging
want
up.
In the actual house anymore that we've just put in this
room.
Well,
this used to be the kids' room. So there's a Rapunzel poster and a ballerina Barbie poster on the wall. And my daughter said to me, we really should
take
those down.
The eyes have been scratched out.
Oh, God, that's dark.
It's like some prison hospital kind of dark, mental asylum shit.
Yeah.
Jesus. Sorry, your daughter was telling you what? She wanted the posters back.
Yeah, and I said, well, I'll get them later. And she was like, okay.
Well, get them later. Yeah. How long would it take to take the posters down off the wall?
Two minutes. They're not nailed on, are they?
No,
they're just blue tack. But they're like...
The rusty nails won't come out of the eyes, Daddy. okay.
Hey, so listen, on the subject of daddery, and you have two girls, right?
I do,
Was Frozen like a big thing in your household?
Was. It persists. It persists, my friend.
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, I've got a four-year-old son who has recently discovered the magic of Frozen.
Yeah.
But he knows that it's like... kind of like a forbidden pleasure almost.
Right.
Like he knows that he shouldn't really be, you know, he's not like the target demographic.
Right.
But he likes the songs and stuff. And then he sort of says like
I like
Olaf. Like that's my favorite guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who's like the sort of like neutral cartoony
snowman
guy.
He's the worst character in the film. He's not funny.
He's pretty bad.
His song
he's
sucks.
Not.
I hate the voice acting. I hate Olaf. My kids friggin'
but
love him.
Who's his favorite Star Wars character, though?
He tends more towards bad guys, right?
Kylo Ren.
He hasn't seen Force Awakens because it's not out on... I think it's out on Blu-ray today, actually. I think it's released today. Like,
okay.
The day that we're recording this. At least in the US, I think it comes out today. So he'll finally get a chance to see it. I offered to take him to the movie theater, but he said he was worried that it was going to be too loud and he didn't want to go. So I was like, okay,
fine. He sounds
fine.
A lot like my four-year-old. She's kind of like that as well. It's kind of sweet.
He said, I'll wait for it to come on Netflix. So I said, okay, fine. That's cool. We'll do that. So, so he likes Darth Vader a lot. You know, he walks around the house and pretends that he's Darth Vader. And when he's not pretending that he's Darth Vader, he likes pretending that he's a stormtrooper. Really likes stormtroopers. He really likes Bowser from Mario more than like any of the other characters. Like, yeah,
true.
Like he just... So I don't know, like, does that mean he's going to be a serial killer when he grows up?
Yep.
Who knows? But, you know, I guess somebody's got to like the bad guy, right?
So someone's got to like him, yeah.
Someone's got to like him.
No,
I mean, they're cool, though.
Yeah, I mean, the
Darth
thing
Vader's
is...
pretty cool.
He is cool. He looks cool. Yeah. He has a lot of cool lines. And this is the other thing about the bad guys in the movies, is everybody listens to the bad guy, right? You think about kids are used to nobody listening to him. Shut up. You can't have that. Just be quiet. Go to your room. Do this. Do that. Darth Vader walks into the room and everybody's like, oh. So I think kids are role-playing as someone with authority. I think it must be quite original. The heroes are always like some schmuck who lives in a barn and nobody cares about,
something.
You know?
Definitely. Like, he was in here yesterday going through Daddy's toys, right? Which are like your World of
Which
Warcraft
figurines. Which I was sweating and, like, stressing out.
You were really stressed that you were like, oh,
no.
Well, no, better not touch Daddy's toys.
Like trying
Daddy's
to
toys.
Deflect and everything.
Anyway, he found like a thrall out of World of Warcraft.
Right.
And he was only interested in thrall if he was a bad guy, basically.
Wow.
So he's like, is he a bad guy? And we're like, And he was always like putting it down. And then I said, yeah, he's a bad guy. He's a bad guy. And he was like, oh, I'm keeping it. I'm taking it. It's just a bit strange, wasn't
good,
it?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's just the way, just the stuff that he likes or whatever. But, you know, I mean, after that happened, we went inside and Lewis like threw him around the living room and almost broke his neck like multiple times.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool too. Yeah.
I was just chucking him around.
Just chucking him around.
The kids, they bounce.
They do bounce.
Yeah,
they bounce
they do,
so
except,
much.
Except for when they break their spines. And then
very flexible.
Yeah.
I was throwing him around
much less
hard than the last time I was here with chucking him around. Because he was lighter last time, right?
Yeah, he was much lighter last time.
Like,
yeah. He's grown a little
bit
since last time.
He's like a foot taller.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be... Gonna be taller than you soon. Damn,
it's been fun. Lewis has had a real insight into the world of dance and kids.
Honestly, the insight is I'm sitting in the kitchen, okay, and first, you know, and your son just is like, oh, I need to poo, so he just grabs the potty, pulls his trousers down right in the middle of the kitchen, like so proud. He's like, he's suddenly completely naked, and I'm like, blah. And then, and so he just starts to poo. And then I turn around, and the baby is like basically naked as well, because she's like having a nappy change. I'm like caught between two naked children.
Well,
I've just arrived, and
man,
I'm like,
that's
oh.
That's what kids do, though. They're just, you know.
It is a culture shock thing. If you're not used to
it, is a culture
kids,
shock.
Like I've been in the same boat where I have friends over who are not familiar with children and their ways. And yeah, it is when your kid walks out half naked with poop all over their butt crack, it's like, I can't wipe my bottom. I'm just like, all right, yep, problem to be solved, no problem.
And my friends are like, I know how to deal with this one.
I've done this
before.
Barfing everywhere. Yeah. I know. Once you smell shit like a couple hundred times, you don't really care
anymore.
Yeah,
who cares?
Like, whatever. It's just a shit.
Everybody's always like, oh, I have to change nappies. You're a veteran after 2 weeks of changing nappies.
To be a 4-year-old.
You can do it. You can do it while you're asleep, pretty much.
I've done it on the very small window shelf in the bathroom of a Chinese restaurant. Okay, that was the weirdest place I've ever changed it.
I think they might just be trolling us, though, you know, because... You know, imagine if you could just take your trousers down anywhere. You know, imagine if you could get away with that.
We've lost that as a society. Yeah. You know, we've tried to become so civilized, but there was a time where people would just, you know, lift their loincloths and just, you know, poop in a lake or whatever.
Yeah.
If you get caught doing that now, forget it. You're dead. Not only are you like defecating in public, but you're also sort of like probably considered
polluting,
some sort of weird pervert or like pollution. Some sort of pedophile or whatever because, you know, you did a poop somewhere. Like, we've gone crazy.
Be all over Twitter.
Yeah, it'd be on Reddit.
People will be like Snapchatting each other about it.
When I was living in Bournemouth, there was a homeless woman that lived in Westbourne, which was the part of Bournemouth I lived in. And she would get very drunk by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon and walk around the town just shouting at people. And because it was a town, like that part of Bournemouth is mainly old people. Like, I know that sounds stupid coming from someone in Bournemouth, but genuinely, this was like old people central Westbourne. And she was walking around near Waitrose and she was walking across by the car park and she just was shouting and screaming. She threw her bottle against the wall. She was in her 60s, so it was quite shocking in itself. And then she just dropped. She was wearing these big, heavy brown sort of trousers. They were looked like they were made out of sack cloth. And she just squatted in the middle of the road and did a massive wee. And I must have been about 11 or 12 years old, and I was on my own on the way to the shop. And I was absolutely terrified at seeing an adult peeing in the street and shouting drunkenly. I'd never seen anything like it. So I think it's shocking to people.
That kind of shit wrecks you though. Like that kind of trauma when you witness something so out of the blue like that when you're young.
Yeah.
You know, like a couple years down the line, it's like, today a man has been arrested and we found that he had the largest collection of golden shower pornographic material we've ever seen. It was the biggest haul for the Bournemouth Police Department ever.
Yeah. That'll be me. Yeah.
That'll be
It was bizarre. It really was bizarre.
It's amazing how sort of you slowly learn stuff that is wrong though, right? Because I wore my shoes in your lounge yesterday because I forgot something in there. So I went to grab it with my shoes on. And your son was just shocked. It was like I'd done the most offensive thing ever. You know, he is fine just pulling his pants down and doing a poo right in front of me. But if I walk in the lounge with my shoes on.
Yeah, he told on you too. Remember when you were like, don't tell mummy that I did that. And he was like, oh, okay, I won't tell. And then literally 5 minutes after you left.
Yeah, he was like,
Lewis was in the lounge with his shoes on. Oh, man.
So
the way it goes.
Kids are rats. They will rat at the drop of a fucking hat. I have to tell my kids constantly, like, don't rat on each other. Like, they'll come up and
don't
say,
snitch.
She did this. I'm like, don't rat on your sister. What kind of loyalty is that? What kind of family member? In this house, we don't rat on our family. We got the rule of omerta in this house. You understand me? You want to be sleeping with the fishes?
I don't want to sleep in the fish tank again, Daddy.
I did it 2 times, Daddy, because my name is Jenny 2 times.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, the thing is, kids are, like, under constant threat, though, right? It's like they're always torn between, you know, should I appeal to this person who threatens me constantly to have, like, my toys taken away or that we're not going to go get ice cream or whatever? Or should I side with the guy that comes over, like, once every 6 months, throws me around, gets offended by me shitting in the kitchen on my potty and whatever? So yeah, I mean, I can see like the appeal of ratting people out because you want to get onto the good side of the people.
That's a good point. Yeah,
are like constantly sort of threatening to you know impact
you know,
your quality
of life. Louis C.K. does a bit about lying, and when kids discover lying and try to tell them not to lie, but also like understanding that it is actually to them an incredibly valuable life skill. Like he says to his daughter, "Did you eat the chocolate? Where's all that chocolate go? Did you eat it?" And she's thinking, "Oh my god!" And he was saying that to kids, being in trouble with their parents is like the worst thing in the world. It's terrifying to them. So they just go, "No," and you go, "Okay, then, good girl," and walk away. And they think, "Oh my god, this power is unbelievable." So my kids, my youngest lies constantly now. Like the 4-year-old, the 7-year-old not so much, but the 4-year-old lies constantly because she's
like
figured it out.
You've encouraged it though.
No,
too.
I just
you
say to her like,
you seem to be very proud of the fact that she lies constantly.
I got a liar.
I got a liar. It folks, very proud. She got a gold certificate at school.
My daughter lies so well, you wouldn't believe. She could bluff like the best of them.
Yeah.
We took her to Vegas.
Yeah.
Oh.
They go through a bit of a phase though. My 4-year-old's the same, where it's innocent stuff.
Yeah,
right? Like, you know, it's just really innocent stuff that they lie about, but because they're figuring out and testing boundaries and stuff like that. Like
she's a horrible liar as well. She'll go like, "No," and turn her eyes to the side like a supervillain.
Big smile. Yeah. Kids are like mini supervillains in a lot of ways, aren't they?
But the most incompetent, least well-equipped supervillains that you've ever met.
Well, I mean, having watched The Force Awakens, I feel like Kylo Ren is like that. I feel like I was going to say before when we were talking about, like, you know, Darth Vader, the contrast between a bad guy like Darth Vader compared to somebody like Kylo Ren. You know, Darth Vader walks into a room, says, "Why isn't the Death Star built?" Somebody starts like stuttering and jabbering on about how they didn't have enough resources. Boom. That guy is choked to death. He's dead. You know, if that was Kylo Ren would have been like pacing around, sweating, like worrying, and then like having like a little hissy fit, you know, doing some sort of like backflip to try to impress everybody and then crying because he doesn't like his dad and stuff. And like, I don't know, maybe like Kylo Ren is the bad guy millennials deserve.
Yeah, he's the millennial bad guy. You're right. 100%.
I feel like he is a little bit. But
yeah, no,
I mean,
I think he is.
I did enjoy the movie, though.
I loved it.
I can't wait for my son to see it because he really likes like the effects, right? Like, because he's like a new age kid,
right?
You know, like I tried to play Mario Maker with him and he doesn't like the old 8-bit Mario levels. He's like, "Dad, put the better one on." So you have to put like the fancy schmancy, you know, 32-bit Mario or whatever it is, you know, with the, even though it's the same thing, it's just like a 2D platformer Mario.
Yeah,
he just like has better animations and all that kind of stuff.
Has he seen Mario Galaxy? Super Mario Galaxy?
No. Well, I mean, I got it, but because I got it on the Wii U, we didn't have an old school Wii remote,
right?
So I went and bought that, but then it didn't come with like the boxing thing. So man, it's just
I'm not kidding. That game, Super Mario Galaxy, the first one, I actually finished that game. Like, I very rarely do that. I thought it was a beautiful game. It was absolutely brilliant. And I think the kids will like it. It is hard as balls, but it's not that hard, but it's got some tough bits.
You just want to play it yourself, right, Sips?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you buy toys for your kids, right? Like,
pretty much.
Like, hey, I bought you a new car, even though you're 4. Mind if I drive it for a bit?
I bought you a shotgun. Here you go.
Yeah, bought you a bowling ball
with
my name on it.
The thing is, it's a bit weird because you really want him to be into like Mario, but he doesn't really want to play Mario.
He doesn't.
He wants to run around and be a dinosaur or whatever. And so
and then
it's kind of strange dynamics. I remember when I was a kid, I was desperate to get like an N64 and play Mario. I was desperate to, that's all I wanted to do. But he's not quite old enough yet to want to do that. So you're trying to like trick him into playing Mario. It's really weird.
It is.
Because normally parents would be the opposite. They'd be like, no, stop playing Mario. Come on, let's go outside. But he wants to be outside.
I'm going to be like that overbearing sports dad, but with video games.
But maybe it's going to work, right? Maybe because it's always the way, right, where you're going to want him to play video games so much that he's never going to play video games and he's going to have like a super productive life.
But
like,
I see it
really
as
well
a win-win, though, because if he does get into video games, cool. You know, like we can hang out a lot together and play video games.
Right.
If he doesn't, cool, he'll probably amount to something.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, either way, it like works out pretty
good.
Either
way, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't control it.
He can't. Just, no, just it's happens. One of those things. It just happens. He likes it enough, but he doesn't
kids
have
love games. They love them.
Yeah. He if he plays a Mario level and he dies straight away, which like he inevitably does, he's just like, that's it, I'm done. Dad, you do it. You finish it. Like,
yeah, they don't like the challenge. My eldest is just starting to get into Minecraft after I bought her that Minecraft magazine, hoping that would be the end of it. Like, she could just read about it. But then when I got the new machine, I put the old machine downstairs as a sort of the house machine, because no one's allowed to touch this one apart from me, obviously. So they're downstairs. She's playing Minecraft the other day. And I said, I want you to explore it yourself. You've got your massive Minecraft book you've read like 20 times. You talk about it nonstop. Here's your chance. Just go nuts. Do whatever you want. Play Minecraft. So she's playing it for like 5 minutes, and she can't put this block down or something. And I can hear her getting angry. She's like punching the keyboard, and she's like slapping the mouse down, and she's like shaking the monitor. And I'm like, she may yet discover that gaming really is this frustrating, but I feel that that rage is actually, to me, that lets me know that she's really engaging with the game. Like, she's
sure she wasn't playing Dark Souls 3. That's how I.
It could have been worse though. You could have gone down after 5 minutes, and she's just like not playing Minecraft. She's just sitting there watching Stampy instead.
Oh god! Or she's built a giant wooden penis in Minecraft, like everybody does. She's built like a massive cock. I'm like, what are you doing?
That's kind of the first thing that you do in any game, any sort of creative game, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty intuitive.
Yeah. That's my fear.
It's my greatest fear.
I don't know what to say.
All right, guys. Well, 25 minutes of dad chat is probably enough. Let's talk about games.
I want to talk about stuff that's happened this week. Like, what have you been up to this week? Have you done anything? Because it's been 2 weeks since we did a podcast, right?
Oh, so yeah, that's right. Yeah,
last week we couldn't do one. We put out an archive. Some people were like complaining about it, but like, who cares? Shut up. If you don't like it,
I'm not with these two guys. I think you're good for you. You've got opinions and they matter.
Yeah.
And voice them as much as you
good
like
for you,
on all the social media
guy.
I never read.
So I went to a couple of events. I went to Insomnia. I went to Gadget Show. They were amazing. I met loads of fans.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't end up going to anything, did you, PFLAX? Because Inglaterra was supposed to be.
Yeah, Inglaterra was meant to be Easter weekend, and then.
But it got cancelled.
Yeah, with problems with the sponsorship and everything, and it had to fall through. It was a real shame.
I didn't actually get to see any of Insomnia, but I'm pretty sure I know what kind of stuff's there. You know, maybe you get to play on the HTC Vive or whatever. Have you guys mucked around with the Vive, the VR? Have we talked about that before on the podcast?
I tried an Oculus Rift like a couple of years ago.
Right.
I think I tried it at Insomnia, actually, one of the Insomnia events, and I played Minecraft, and it was okay.
I've used the Vive a lot. Because when I went to, when I was at TI4, they were just starting to develop it. And they were some way in, but it wasn't like a public project that they definitely weren't partnered with HTC at that point. And it was a guy called Doug Church, who is a gaming legend. I subsequently found out. I just knew him as Doug. But if you look up his credits, he's like any good game over the last like 20 years, he's probably either knows the people involved or has had a hand in it. It's just a ridiculous legacy. Wow. And I was chatting to him. He's a really lovely guy. And he gave me a demo on the Vive. And this was before they had controllers, and it was QR codes glued to the walls and everything like that. So it was kind of very basic. And then I was very excited even just then, because I was like, this is going to be something unbelievable. Like, I couldn't believe how good it was. And then I went back for TI5, and he was like, you got to come back and try the new model. I was like, okay, how much can it have changed? And it was like it is now. It's practically the very same, similar to the release model with the controllers, like prototype versions and everything. And it just had these little sensors and everything. And it blew my mind. It was just so good.
It's really good.
So I saw a GIF on Twitter.
It's GIF. Come on. But this is GIF.
The guy who made it actually says.
I don't care what
it
says.
It's graphical interchange interface format. So it's graphical. It's GIF.
He's wrong. Fuck that guy. He's wrong. He's trolling.
The guy
he
who
just
said,
wanted to start
the guy
he made it, though. He made it.
I don't care.
It's like saying wave or wav.
If Notch came along and said to you, "Oh, it's actually pronounced Minecrafto." You wouldn't like say, "Oh yeah, I'm going to pronounce it Minecrafto from now on."
Yeah.
Would you? Cuz he's a dick.
Well, I just pronounce it the way I want to, okay? I don't see why like I have
no,
to pronounce
don't.
It.
No, you don't. You're pronouncing it the way that he told you to. And who's
that
you're
guy? Doing what he said. You're following the man.
Well, no, actually, this was something I found out after the fact.
Oh,
like the
really?
First time I'd ever seen the
like
thing.
Hermione
was, like,
out of Harry Potter.
Hermione.
Yeah.
Hermione. What? How do you actually pronounce it?
Hermione.
Hermione.
And Hagrid.
And Hagrid.
That's right. They're the characters, aren't they?
Have you ever watched any Harry Potter stuff, B-Flax?
I believe it's pronounced Harry Pooter.
Harry that's the porn
Harry
version.
Harry Patootie, yeah.
Yeah, I've watched it. I've watched them all. Mrs. F is a big fan. It's okay. I don't really...
I can't believe you're referring to them as if the films were the things that you would have came first. I can't believe you're talking about Harry Potter as if, have you watched it? It's not... it was a series of books. They were great books. The films that don't do any justice.
Mrs. F read the books. I didn't read the books. I watched the films because I don't want to read kids' books. No offense.
The books are so good. The films are kids' films. The films are dumbed down for the kids.
The books are kids' books.
The books are great. They're young adult
books. They're one word per page.
They're good.
The writing is huge in those books.
I've read parts of it and it's just not very well written. Like, it's just...
I did read them when I was younger, but not that much younger. What do you mean it's not well written? It's fantastically written.
No,
it's it's a modern masterpiece.
It's quite repetitious.
It's written in very modern English. It's very well... It's a joy to read Harry Potter books. Meh. And I suggest that you read them.
Is it J.K. Rowling or J.K. Rowling?
Good question.
Ruling.
I say Jif, you say Gif. Let's all call her Rowling.
Let's all call the whole thing off.
Ruling.
Boop. So Insomnia was good. The HTC Vive is amazing.
Yeah.
I went to the Gadget Show, which was full of crap. And I was telling Sips about some of it yesterday. I actually got to go around and walk around the Gadget Show because we got there an hour early. So me and Shin walked around and looked at all the junk that people were selling. And
oh, man.
It was a lot of Wi-Fi-enabled household stuff, right? Like Wi-Fi light bulbs, Wi-Fi... door locks and handles, Wi-Fi
balls for your
junk.
Cats.
Yeah, and
these cats can play with these balls and they're Wi-Fi enabled, and
that's
you
right.
can attach any device to them.
So there's like this sort of a ball, and it was the idea really was that I guess like when you're at work, you can measure how fit your cat is by how much he plays with the ball, as if there's not like visual indicators on how fit your cat is, like how
the thing
fat
is,
they are.
In general, who
two,
gives a fuck about a cat?
How much they hate you?
Even
and,
if you own a
hang
cat,
around at the house.
You, if you're leaving him at home all day, clearly you don't give a shit about that cat in the first place. Like, who fucking cares how much exercise he's getting?
Yeah, I guess like if you've got your cat locked in. Oh, look, I'm not a cat fan. I'm not a cat owner.
Neither.
I don't know anything, but maybe we're giving this guy a lot of promotion. Maybe it's a great product. You know, the cat ball, the iFit cat ball.
It's the
go
dumbest,
ahead and buy
the
it.
Dumbest idea I've ever heard.
It's a dumb idea. It is a dumb idea. Thank you. Anyway, and I saw there was loads of other crap on sale, and it blew my mind, like how many things to do with like Apple Watch charging case, like a fancy leather case that charges your Apple Watch, because you know you can't, or you have to like have your arm like dangling out of your bed at night to like charge it. Or so, some bullshit.
Man, no offense to Catball guy, but he is like quite typically, I think, the guy that goes on Dragon's Den, values his business at £1 million in the first year, and then Duncan Bannatyne gets really fucking mad at him, and then Peter Jones gets like even more mad at him. And Theo Profetus like spits on him and stuff, and then he's like, "Well, it was always my
and then
dream
the woman
from
says,
when I was a
I little... love cats. Yeah. I have 10 cats. These cats would love this product. This I'm in. I'm gonna invest.
My cats love balls.
My cats love to play with balls. They fucking love to play with balls. Oh my god! So that the cat ball, and there was all sorts of other crap like fitness. There's all sorts of fitness crap. Because it's all about the Apple, not the Apple Watch, but the other fitness bands, fitness bands, fitness fucking rings you can put on your cock, and like they measure how much
girthy and
sex you have,
how much thrust.
It's ridiculous.
Kilojoules of thrust you can produce.
There was a lot of exercise stuff for the chronically lazy, right?
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of stuff that's like you can get fit if you just stand on this ball.
Make the perfect cup of coffee. With Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Do you guys want to hear something about pets
whoa,
in the
whoa,
UK?
Hang on one second, though.
What?
I was rudely interrupted, actually, about the whole GIF thing. I wanted to say about the HTC Vive, I saw an animated image of a man sitting on like a subway with one of these Vives attached to his face. And it was hooked up to like a controller that was on his phone or something. And he was like flailing around and like whipping his head all over the place. And there's people sitting next to him and it looked really antisocial. Like, is this what we have to look forward to?
Yeah,
I'm afraid so.
That's a good point.
Honestly, I've been on my own in Jersey. Okay. for the last couple of nights.
I'm so lonely.
Right? And I don't normally go to places on my own, so I'm not really quite very used to it. But I've been eating out and like going to a couple of restaurants and stuff on my own, and it's quite astonishing to see how many people. So I went into this place and it was full up, but there was a queue of people and there were like three people waiting in front of me, and they were all like hunched over, looked like staring at their phones. And I looked around this place, this bar, and they were just, everyone was just on their phones, like 40, 50 year old people mostly, yeah. Like not young people anymore. It's just everyone was sucked into their phones, and it was kind of like the new norm. So yeah, I think that's what we're in for, Sips. We're in for this world where everyone's walking around with visors on. Like, you know, having like some sort of playing, like almost like walking to work, right?
Yeah.
Will be this 3D game. It'll be like Mario, right? Yeah. And so you'll be, da, 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 yeah. You'll come out
it'll
of your
be
house.
Like, it'll da, be da, like,
da, 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 and people will be like collecting a coin, ding. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? They'll be like fucking.
It'll be somehow tied into like EVE Online. Like, if you want to level up your new ability faster, you need to turn this app
steps.
On before you start walking to work in virtual reality to speed it up.
And then what will happen is initially, okay, it'll be like the Wii Fit, right? Initially, everyone will be like, yeah, I'm going to get fit. I'm going to run around and jump around and stuff. And they do all this stuff. And then slowly people learn that they can just like slouch back on their sofa and like waggle it like in their wrist or whatever. And it'll fake them doing like a mile run, you know. So instead of doing a mile run for real, they'll just be on the sofa like basically like wanking with the Wii controller.
Man, I'm a bit conscious now because like, you know, Lewis is over here visiting. I don't want people to think I'm a bad host because he's so lonely and he has to go do stuff on his own. But
No.
The fact of the matter is that
it's a choice.
When he goes somewhere to eat dinner, right? Like I have two kids, that's like meltdown hour for me.
Yeah.
From like about 5 o'clock until 10 o'clock at night. Like I have two kids to put to bed who really do not want to go to bed or do anything
no.
that I tell them to between those 5 hours. So it's like really hard to get out of the house and do stuff.
No, I'm delighted to I'm having a great time. I'm not judging.
I'm not judging you, dude.
I'm not complaining at all.
Not, but,
but yeah, I think that is the way we're going, right? It's gonna be that people are just in their own little, it's already that way. You know, you already see people walking down the street just being like, hey, yeah, blah blah blah, just talking to themselves like some fucking nutcase.
Oh, yeah, those are the worst,
you know?
With their Bluetooth headsets.
Yeah, and their eyes are like glazed over.
Buy low, sell high. Who the fuck are you
talking
to?
Yeah, make sure you talk to Alice about that because she's bringing the cookies. So make sure you talk to Alice because otherwise we're not gonna have any cookies.
What are we gonna do
without the cookies? Make sure you talk to Janine, remember? You know Janine, Janine. Over because Janine's gonna bring the other thing, the plates. So if you got, do you know what I mean? They're literally yelling as they walk down the road like some insane person.
Yeah,
that's where we're going. It's only gonna get worse.
It's gonna be bad.
Yeah,
it's gonna get bad.
And people always think they can incentivize themselves to do stuff like get fit, right? Yeah. Via doing some dumb shit.
Well, this came about with the Wii. I don't know if you remember. It was like, Wii exercise. Do you want to sit at home and play video games all day? Now you can just flail around your living room with this workout pad that nobody fucking used ever.
It's a little bit like the brain training on the iOS, on the DS, right?
I got that, actually.
There's
like
absolutely no evidence whatsoever that it actually helps with anything.
No.
But they will say, you will get smarter if you play this stupid puzzle game.
It makes you feel like a fucking idiot. That's what it does. Every day, you subject yourself to that and you're like, fuck, I'm stupid. Like, how come I can't do these puzzles?
I don't think that's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to make you feel like, you know, you're not wasting your time playing games, but
crazy.
Actually you totally are.
Do you know what I think it is? I was actually thinking about this the other day, about people and reality. And I think that most people don't believe that everything that's happening outside of their body is actually real, right? I think to most people, the reason most people are very self-centered is because to them, if you think about it, reality is a very confusing and weird place.
You're 100% correct.
Stuff is just happening. You don't have much control over it. And throughout history, people have seen stuff and just gone like, what the fuck is that? And they come up with an explanation for it in their head that makes no sense. Like chemtrails, for instance, or there's a weird noise in the sky, so it's some kind of government project, or they're putting stuff in the water. This is people's, the world is flat, it's all a lie, you know, nobody believes anything. And the reason for that is because they all think that their reality is the only one true reality. So escaping from this false reality we live in to a virtual reality where you can shape it, you can do whatever you want, it's just you understand it, it's got simple rules, you can actually do well in it. People are going to be all over that.
I think that a really good example of that is driving, right? When you get into a car and you start driving, it feels like you're playing, to me, it feels sometimes like I'm playing a video game.
Yeah.
You sort of get really detached from the fact that you're driving around a one-ton hunk of metal.
Yeah, it's basically like a cruise missile.
That is powered
careful.
By like million-year-old dead dinosaur.
Yeah.
Like liquid.
It is probably the weirdest thing that we let everybody do.
Yeah, it is incredibly, I mean, dangerous, really, when you think about how blasé people are about it.
But even worse is now games like GTA 5 and stuff like that. You know, sometimes I get into my car and I'm like driving along. I'm like, fuck, I would love to just like bash into those trash cans. And stuff. But like, I know I shouldn't. But like, I've done it so many times in the game that I'm like, I wonder if anyone would even notice. Like, maybe it would be like one of those things, you know, like the time like Father Ted kicked Bishop Brennan up the arse, and like he was not expecting.
He was so shocked.
He was so shocked.
He was in denial.
Yeah, he was in denial.
He just couldn't believe that it had happened.
And I feel like if I ran over somebody's trash cans with my car, just sent like paper and stuff flying everywhere, listening to like some West Coast classics at the same time, that would be fine. You know, I'd probably get away with it, but I'd feel bad.
I got in big trouble for trying to do stunt jumps over the bridges around Twickenham. doesn't work out.
Well, in your like family car, in your like big old family
car. No, I knocked a guy off his moped. Just grabbed it. I was off over the bridge, leaping over. You know, because there's a ramp, and if you catch it just right, you can clear the river and smash into a cafe. But it's cool. You just respawn. That's what I thought anyway. But it doesn't work out. I played.
Are we talking about real life? What? When did you knock a guy off the moped? Was that in the game?
It's just GTA.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, it's all right.
I thought you were talking
They're
about.
Such targets.
I was
like
just
guys
I was implying that
mopeds.
Reality in GTA 5, you see, it was not a clever
They
it
are
was not
blending
a
together
joke,
a little
was,
bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
It's all right.
I got it.
Thank
we
you,
got
Sips.
It.
I got it.
You got it.
So, yeah.
But nobody enjoyed it. Like, that's the worst.
It was an internal satisfactory chuckle.
Okay.
I didn't project it.
If you make a joke that nobody gets...
Don't worry,
you can, right, but you can at least feel superior. But if you make a joke that people get and it's just not good, that's even worse than one that people don't get. If they get it and they're like, yeah, we got it. You're like, oh, shit.
Well, you don't need to draw attention to it by talking about it.
No, I want
to
talk about it. I want to talk about my failure, Lewis. I want to talk about it.
You want to address that? Don't worry, we're here for you. Look, we this is the case, you know. We always, you know, this is why they record QI and these panel shows for like 3 hours and then they cut it down to half an hour because not all of the jokes work and then everyone laughs at the person who made the terrible joke.
I've made a couple of stinkers in my time that I'm not proud of.
No,
well, it happens.
Well, not just they don't work. Anyway, I was looking at this exercise thing, right? And it reminded me of those things from the 50s when a woman had like a white strip, the rubber strip that would go around their waist and it would jiggle them and they would stand there while
I can't remember what it was called. Like the vibrating belt, the vibro belt.
That's right. And it will, you know, watch the
Dr.
pounds
Dr. Ripley's fantastical,
away.
Amazing jiggler belt.
The jiggle belt. Just 10 minutes on the jiggle belt a day, and you could lose this much weight. Look at our model here. She used the jiggle belt every day for only 3 weeks. And look, she's a supermodel now. Look at her perky tits. You could have tits like this if you used the jiggle belt. And it's bollocks.
But do you know, do you know what they called that machine in the 50s?
Have you found it?
Yeah, the vibrating belt machine. Like they didn't understand how to brand things in those days.
No,
they didn't.
The vibrating belt machine. Okay.
The gigolo.
Yeah, that's what they should have called it.
So I saw the... they basically had one of them, but you stood on it and it jiggled you. And it was the dumbest shit ever.
Yeah.
Now, again, maybe this thing is the next biggest thing and maybe everyone's going to be watching TV in their lounge, like standing on the jiggle platform.
No, we've moved past that though now.
We're already past the jiggle pad.
Well, because we had the Wii exercise thing and now it'll be the HTC Vive because it'll be like, Game of Thrones, HTC Vive edition. Now you can be Sir Jon Snow and wield whatever his stupid sword's name was and kill everybody in your living room.
Yeah, I'd play the hell out of that, though.
Yeah, that's what it'll be. And then it'll be a bunch of people who are like, I did 3 hours of Sir Jon Snow battles the ice monsters last night, and I burnt off 500 calories. And
I can now have that Snickers bar that I always wanted.
Now I can award myself with my seventh can of Coke today. Yeah. So that's what it'll be like. And then it'll die out instantly because nobody wants to fucking do that. Because, again, people will just figure out some way to, like, lay on their couch and, like, twiddle a finger or something to make Sir Jon Snow do his, like, uppercut attack or whatever. And chain uppercut attack their way through the game and then move on.
I quite like the idea of, and is this the thing with Dota that they were doing, PFLAX with Divive, where basically you can sit in like an arena of spectators with other people and watch a game like on a big screen.
That was what when I was talking to them about it at TI5 and they were saying they were going to do the VR spectating mode for Dota 2, they implied that you would be able to see your friends and you would be looking at the whole map. But instead, if you look at the release video for the Vive that was up the other day, they showed it and it's more like you're sitting there and you're looking at a virtual screen that's bigger than, you know, a screen you'd have in your house. So it's like a widescreen TV, like a big TV. And then you watch the game on that and then you look around you and there's various assets like data. So you can look at stats and you can look at this and the other and you can look at chat and everything. Like, so there's all kinds of add-ons around you that you wouldn't normally have.
I see.
So I think that's
so rather
what they're
than
going
just
for.
Watching it on the screen, yeah. You have a three. You can use your head to provide you with more info.
Right.
Up above, it's like, oh, there's the net worth, and over on the right, it's like, oh, there's
exactly.
A picture
I
of
get
a cat,
the I get the know? Appeal, but I don't want to be the guy sitting in the room, like Ray Charlesing it all over the place with my head, and put this thing on, and like people walk in, like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Like, what's wrong with them? And I'm just like trying to watch a game of Dota. Like,
it's embarrassing enough being caught playing video games anyway. It's
I guess it is a particularly bad when, especially if they walk in and you're playing like anime love sex.
I was
sex
trying
simulator.
To get the achievement on GTA 5 for going to the strip club like 100 times or whatever. And, like, oftentimes I had to turn my TV off, like, if somebody came in the room, because it's kind of embarrassing,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Yeah. If you've got the groinal attachment on, yeah. And you're, you know, banging away
yeah.
on hentai tentacle, yeah, tentacle. Sim 667
69.
XXL
yeah.
Diamond Edition,
yeah.
With all of the DLC.
Pokemon Red.
I got, yeah. And you know, someone just films you.
Yeah.
And puts it on the YouTube.
Yeah.
There's a video of a guy having sex with there's a new fleshlight that you just strap on. And That's right.
I saw that. Yeah, it's like a suit.
Yeah, he's
and
like,
it has like a
full body suit. He's lying on the floor. It's got fake boobies. And I think the harder you massage the boobies, the faster the fleshlight goes.
But does it matter what it looks like if you've got a mask, if you're seeing it in virtual reality anyway?
It doesn't. No, that. And that's the thing. This guy's laying down with a Vive on with like a, you know, like a climax face, just like fondling these big boobies and with his fleshlight pounding away on his junk. And he's looking at anime, and it's like, well, that's great. You know, we've finally arrived. We've done it.
We're here in the 21st century.
All we need now is for your computer to emit smells. So, like, you know, for people who like to have like a little fart in their face or whatever.
Yeah.
Big
in Brazil, seems to be always.
All we need, right, is a machine which will fart in your face.
Daddy's computer is farting again.
Mm. And then we're basically at Star Trek. We're in the future then.
Pretty much, yeah.
Computer, Earl Grey hot, and please fart in my face as well.
That's a more
computer,
realistic version.
Daddy needs a puffle
of
in
what
their face.
He would be doing in his spare time in the future, definitely.
Yeah.
He'd go back to his cab. He would be thinking all day, oh God, I've spent the whole day exploring the galaxy. I really need someone to fart on my face. Quickly, I must go back to my cabin and sleep now.
That was Picard's thing, though, wasn't it? Deanna Troi, please leave me alone in my quarters.
Computer,
fart in my face.
Fart in my face. In 3, 2, 1.
I'm ready.
Engage. I need to go.
My mouth is open. Engage.
Engage fart.
Brown alert. The thing is, he was always like, I need to go and practice that funny penny whistle that I've got. So do you remember he had that little whistle he was trying to play? Phrase like,
oh, that was a really good story, though.
Flute.
Flex.
Space flute.
But I think he would say, that, like, if you hear strange tooting noises coming from my ready room,
my quarters.
It's the space flute. It's my space flute.
But they could totally prank other people on board. It's like, computer, please fart at Data's face. In 3, 2, 1, fart.
Captain, I am experiencing such a strange sensation. It's almost like disgust. That was so eggy. my skin is going pruny, and I feel like maybe I'm about to die.
Computer, what have you been eating? For goodness sake.
Oh, do you reckon, because Data could do that. Like, if the captain said to him, Data, I have an unusual request. My farting machine is broken, and Daddy needs to get his fart on. So if you could just kneel on my desk, I'll sit in my chair. And, Mr. Data, fart in my face. Yeah, you do that little head turn that he does. I find this request unusual, Captain. I don't
Shut up, Data. It's an order.
Make with the farty fart, Data. Captain's orders. That's what would happen, I think.
You will fart in my face, Data, or I will have to relieve you of duty.
Now, Data, we're not going to tell Worf about this, are we? Worf would not like to hear that his captain is into farting. Captain, I will not follow a fart lover into battle.
Oh my god.
Worf, man, I love having next generation conversations, because the thing that I do after every next generation conversation is watch those fucking edits on
YouTube. They're so good.
They're so fucking funny. I was trying to put the baby to bed the other night whilst washing them, and my wife got so mad.
Like, you were just giggling away.
What are you doing? I was just like, you know, like when you're not supposed to be laughing, but you're laughing really fucking hard.
Yeah.
It was like that, like when you're at school.
You're laughing and farting. The baby's laughing and farting.
Yeah, it's just pretty good.
I've been playing Rust a lot, like I was saying to you guys before we started. And the problem is that game makes me laugh way too much. So Mrs. F goes to bed about 10:30, and I'm up till 1 playing Rust and just laughing my ass off. And she keeps, like, there's that moment I'm playing, I'm like, tears, and I'm like, you know, tears on my face. I'm like, smash his head with a rock. And I look to my right, and the door's open, and Mrs. F is there just scowling at me. And I'm like,
oh, yeah,
I'm sorry, you know.
And then it sucks all the joy out of you, like some sort of energy vampire just comes in. It's like,
oh, no.
It's the worst.
And you feel super guilty. Yeah, I've been there. Oh, man.
Who hasn't, right? Who hasn't?
From like the ultimate happy high to like the like suddenly
crushing low.
The highs of video games to the lows of married life. That's that.
Yeah. The two don't mix very well together, that's for sure.
I'll tell you what, if I didn't make any money out of this whole shebang, then she would have smashed my computer pieces long ago. Long ago.
I've had threats and everything in the past.
That's the ultimate argument, Settler, actually. She'll say, I'll unplug the internet. And I'm like, okay, whatever you want. And she's like, I'll take your power cable away and I'll hide it. And I'm like, all right, whatever you need. Just
it's like
I'll
my
fix
mom.
The solar panels, I promise.
Don't
tomorrow.
Hurt the baby, please.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what my mum used to do. Just, you know, when I was a kid, she would, if I was playing games too long, she'd just take important cables away.
Yeah.
And I had to learn to, like, MacGyver my way back to, like, get the computer working again without all of the relevant leads. You know, I without a mouse, I learned to use, like, keyboard commands for everything.
Wow.
So I could just basically navigate my way through Windows and everything with only the keyboard,
important.
You know. Because my mum didn't realise that if you went, you know, control escape, P, like shortcutted your tab, 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 shortcut your way through everything, like find the exe files to play, like, you know, a game that doesn't require a mouse.
Fucking Bobby Digital down there. Like, ha ha, who's going to have the last laugh today, mother? Ha ha ha, control P, escape, that's right, Alt F4. I'm in, I'm hacking DOS, mother. What do you think of this?
Man, it was so satisfying to do that, though. And it's useful today because I know all the keyboard commands.
It's good, yeah. It's
nice served
to
me
know
well.
Some keyboard commands.
By the way, sure. Quick keyboard command tip for anybody out there. Control Shift T will open the most recent tab that you closed in Chrome. How about that?
Very helpful. So if someone comes in, you can quickly close that tab.
And then Control Shift T.
And then, like, as soon as they've gone again,
Control
Shift T.
Control Shift T. Okay, I'm gonna throw caution to the wild.
Right,
let's see what opens up in mine, Lewis. If it is like midget filth or something, I apologize, but
it is disgusting. Oh my goodness.
It's a Google
pay
search.
My taxes online.
It's a pay my taxes online tab.
Okay.
I'm a dad.
I'll let you off.
I'm a dad.
I'll let you off.
Anyway, we started talking about gaming and we didn't really mean to. You've been playing Rust. Do you want to talk about Rust a bit?
I would love to talk about Rust. It is my new jam. I love this game. They've
It's pretty old jam.
No,
it's an old jam,
right?
Isn't it?
But I played it at release and it was garbage. It had zombies and it was just terrible and it was a really stupid game. And the version that they've got now is amazing. Absolutely fucking amazing. And I love it.
There's lots of nudity in it now, apparently.
There's always been nudity in it.
I know, but and now it's very graphic, like dongers and everything.
Yeah, they're running around. I mean, it's quite funny if you're running after someone and they jump over a rock. You get an unpleasant shot of their taint. I'll tell you what, it's like it's realistic. You know what I mean? You're really having a look at a man's balls jiggling around while you're trying to kill him with a spear. But it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. It's just so funny.
Rust is one of those games, I think, where it'll benefit from having these sort of like. People picking it up again after a while, really enjoying the new features and then getting their friends back into it and stuff. And it'd probably sell like more copies off the back of that.
Maybe.
But it does suffer from that thing where it was like, Rust came out like 2 years ago. It'll never have that big, like, we're releasing, you know, we're ready, we're done the game sort of thing. It'll never have that big release again where it could be popular.
But a little bit like Gary's Mod, it'll just continue to tick over. And that's the same, it's made by the same guys, isn't it? And it's kind of, you know, they do continue to update it and improve it. And it keeps doing well. It's a clever game. They're thoughtful. You know, they don't just throw it out there and make the cash and then make a new game and make the cash. You know, they do... I like the way it has changed and evolved and become good. You know, because it was in our first Christmas bundle like a couple of years back.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it was in last year's bundle. And I think it's been in the bundle for the last 3 years, maybe, in fact.
I played it when it was released and it had the zombies. And actually, I liked it back then. So I'm probably
you'll love it.
But you're a huge DayZ fan anyway, PFlex, right?
Well, so, I am and I'm not. I mean, I'll go back to it and I'll be all over it. But then I'll remember the crushing lack of fun that there is for 99% of playing that game. And then the absolutely petrifying moments of terror that are meant to be fun, but in fact are not. And the game is so buggy. Like, Rust... You can get guns in Rust in a couple of hours, and that's good because you want to have fun. Like last night, I was playing it with Munticus, and all of a sudden, there's like 20 people in the Discord. They're like, let's play. So we're all running around the island trying to meet up. Everyone's got their stupid stories of trouble they've had getting there. And then we met this guy who really knew what he was doing, and he was like, yep, I'll build a house. And I'm like, okay, let's get him some wood. We get a load of wood from him, and we're all going around as like 10 people harvesting wood. So we just like harvest the entire area around our house in like no time, come back, and he's built this mansion for us. And we've got we've each got a box with a sign over it saying whose box it is. We've all got sleeping bags. We've got furnaces going. We've got like a production team. We've got like a gathering team. We've got the combat team. And we keep getting attacked. These guys were attacking last night with rocket launchers. And then because we withstood them, I'd logged off. They waited till we logged off and then attacked with rockets. Didn't manage to get inside, but they came and gave us a load of stuff because they were like, here, have some stuff. It's cool. But we're still having a fight. So they'll attack in like twos and threes and we'll run out with spears and bows and arrows and like hunt them down. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. We've all got the same hat. So we know who's on whose side. But it's just bedlam.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just absolute bedlam.
How many people per server now? Has that changed at all?
Well, some of the servers, you can have like 300 people.
Wow.
So the one we were on was slightly smaller. We were on Rustified Medium, which is about 180 people maximum. But that's a lot of people. And every week, the server completely wipes. So you forget everything. You have to find blueprints, and you remember the blueprints. And even if you die, for the remainder of that server lifetime, which is about a week, you'll know how to make an AK, or you'll know how to make wooden pants. Or whatever. So when they wipe, you forget everything. Everybody starts from scratch because as the time goes on, people have built these massive castles that are covered in barbed wire and bombs, and you can't get in. And they just snipe people from their sniper tower. So once that all gets wiped, everyone's back to the square one. You have to, you know, it'll be madness. So that resets today, and we're really looking forward to it. But
that's cool.
Yeah,
that sounds.
It sounds like we should join you.
You 100% should. It is the funniest shit. I'm not pimping my channel in any way, but I put out a Rust video a couple of days ago that was brilliant, in my opinion. It was one of the funniest streams I've ever done, and I've got the second one ready to render, and it was just as funny. It's just so much stupid shit happens, and I'm very happy. Like it's the first game I played. Sorry, go ahead.
No,
it's great when you pick up a game and you genuinely just have a ton of fun with it, isn't it? Like so many games come out now and you think that like they're going to be fun, or you expecting to have fun playing them, but it's nice when something like genuinely delights you.
Yeah, like I've streamed a ton of games and I made videos for a bunch of games, and sometimes the game's sort of okay or the content is all right, but this was just like, this is one of the best streams that I've done, like in terms of how much I enjoyed it. I completely forgot what time it was. I was just like, oh shit, it's 1 a.m. guys, I've got to stop. There's like 6 hours of streaming this game, just running around naked. Like when you throw a spear and catch someone in the back of the head and kill them, and then they're rolling around the ground going ah, and you finish them off with a rock, and then you harvest their body and eat their flesh, and then you can make their bones into weapons and stuff. It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
Can you eat their dead dicks? Because I would like to be known on a server as like
the dick eater.
Watch out, everybody, the dick eater is on the loose.
I'm gonna eat your dicks.
Oh my god.
100% yeah. You can, yeah, yeah.
That sounds so fucking bad.
It's amazing. It's just brilliant.
I'd love that.
But normally, like the bigger clans or whatever haven't got as many people as we have. Like everyone on the stream that's got the game that's a sub, we're just getting them in on the Discord and we're just running around as a pack. We're like, right, lads, raiding parties. Everybody arms up. We've all got random armor on. Like I've got armor that is made from a road sign, and I've got like Wellington boots on. And a hoodie, and you can get a blue bucket hat with the front missing, so you can run around with a bucket on your head. And we're all just running awesome. Around like a bunch of Mad Max sort of cast-offs, looking for trouble. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
Fuck, that sounds really fun.
It's great.
I got to pick that up.
You
again.
Should. Yeah. You should. It's completely changed. It is a ton of fun. I immediately thought of how much you guys would enjoy it. It is so much fun.
So what have you been playing this week, Sips? What have you been doing?
It's a weird one. I've been playing the new Orcs Must Die, which is a little bit, it's hit and miss with a lot of people. Like if you played the original Orcs Must Die games, like 1 and 2, there was multiplayer in the second one, but they were predominantly single player games, and geared up around this like single player experience. You had these levels that you played, you put traps down, you killed lots of orcs, and you progressed through like a story and stuff. So what they've done with the game now is they've sort of kept some of that in its own mode, but they've tried to introduce this. It's like almost like a MOBA mode. So it's like a 5v5 it's like Smite. So like it's third person. It's nice enough to look at. Graphics and stuff are pretty good. And the idea is that you spawn minions. So you spawn your own orcs and ogres and whatever from these portals. And they work as your creeps. You follow the waves of creeps up and push on like the enemy's rift or whatever. You buff your creeps. There's all these like little mechanics thrown in and stuff. There's roles, so you can either choose to defend or attack, or you know, there's like a almost like a jungling role, and it's good. I've enjoyed it. I've been playing it like most of the weekend, and then a little bit this week, and it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And I think a lot of people have been really dismissive of it, thinking that it's not like the original game, so it's going to be garbage. Free to play MOBAs are generally pretty hit and miss, unless you're like playing the big ones or whatever. And I would say give it a chance. I don't think it's a terrible game. Well, I don't think it's the best game either.
We did a one shot, right?
Yeah.
On it. Me and you played it on the main channel, and then did a couple more videos on Double Dragon after that. I think as of this recording, they haven't gone out yet, but I think they're going out, or I've been going out the last couple of days. And so for me, the game, well, I think one of the last things I said was it felt that the team, what they'd done is they said, hey, look, we made Orcs Must Die 2. It was good. Let's make it into a MOBA because we can. And I think I've got some really good ideas for it. And then they did. And then they thought, well, how are we going to release this? It's now a MOBA. What do we do? We need to find a publisher who will publish it like a MOBA. And that's what they did. And so I think that they intended for it to be a MOBA and this fun thing. And then they went down this slippery slope. And before they knew it, they were basically putting the whole League of Legends interface in with all the free-to-play stuff, all the hero picking. And they thought, well, look, we've tested this mode. We've made the mode. We've played the 5v5. It doesn't quite work. What are we going to do? Okay, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to make different roles, right? So we're gonna have to have attackers, defenders, and basically junglers, right? So one person on each team of five is a League of Legends style jungler who literally spends his entire time fucking running around the map killing crates,
yeah,
which is the worst role ever. God. By the way, it's so boring.
Well, you gank too, like generally the guy who's jungling is a strong attacker.
Sort of a ganker, that's true.
So you if you have a stealthy character while you're not collecting boxes, you can be ganking
or you can like one-on-one people that, you know, one-on-one there jungler.
There's like a
thing.
Big, there's neutral objectives. So like sometimes certain maps, they'll have like a place that you need to capture to spawn like a boss minion.
Yeah. And so for example, you have to kill a big creature, but because you're a jungler, you've got a bit of life steal. You can usually kill that thing on your own kind of thing. And then it summons this big minion, like here is the storm style. It goes along your fucking creep wave and, you know, you push with it. Do you know what? I enjoyed it for a couple of games. And then like every MOBA, I found it quite repetitive. And I didn't really get any pleasure out of it. I guess, but then again, I enjoyed it for a few hours. I guess I'm not really happy to pay 300 quid for a 30 quid game or to spend 150 hours in it to unlock everything. Because it felt like I ended up playing about 10 to 15 games and I'd unlocked fuck all. I think I maybe unlocked like one extra trap. And I thought kind of fuck that. You know, if I've played this game for like hundreds of hours, not hundreds of hours, but if I've played the game for like 20 hours, at least I should have been able to unlock one hero or one hero skin or something. But it felt like it was just really stingy.
But it's,
or maybe that's the current balance.
It's a hard sell for them to get somebody with 5,000 hours of Dota 2 and hundreds of pounds spent on cosmetics and chests and stuff to say, hey, you know, forget all that, you know, come and get involved in this game exclusively for like some time sort of thing. I don't think they're going to win anyone over with the game.
I think people I speak to who are in League of Legends are very, very invested in the game. They've put so many hundreds of pounds in the game that they're never leaving.
Yeah.
You know, that sunk costs fallacy thing means that they feel like they would never want to start investing any money
exactly.
in the game.
And
it's the same thing with World of Warcraft characters, right?
Yeah.
People have got so much investment in their World of Warcraft characters and their accounts and things. So one of the things in the news I read today, unrelated, was that the classic server, the Nostalgia server, World of Warcraft Vanilla, has been given a cease and desist order by Activision Blizzard and it's going to be shut down.
Yeah.
And this was a team that had worked very, very hard to replicate the vanilla experience. And a lot of the people in the thread who were talking about it was very, very sad that it got shut down. A lot of them were saying, I actually never started because I didn't want to get attached to a character and then have it never be able to come back to it. So people do get very, very attached to their accounts, the characters. And I think when a new game comes along that you can't transfer across your stuff to, you know, it's one of the reasons that League of Legends has had such a longevity. It's because those people who got started in the beginning have put hundreds of pounds into the game. Because you do have to pay that to even fucking play the game.
It means
they never play.
You can play that game. There's nothing that you buy in that game that gives you an edge. It's
all heroes, though. Having to pay for heroes.
Yeah, but even then you can grind them up. Like, you know, if you're willing to, it's like Heroes of the Storm. You can buy them straight up, or you can grind them up. And I would say that most people probably grind them up because with a player base of like 30 million or whatever it is, you know, there's going to be a lot of people in there without disposable income.
I will just say this, Sips: they do make $1 billion a year.
It's a very popular game.
But I don't think that necessarily means everybody playing the game has to spend money on it. There's always going to be people who spend nothing on it.
I think psychologically it's a very insidious business model, though. And it seems that free-to-play games have become this very... I think, you know, League of Legends and Dota are the most expensive free-to-play games we've ever played. You know, we end up spending hundreds of pounds more than we would have done for buying a full-price game.
Yeah.
And I think that it is a very cynical business model that's been adopted by so many people because it makes so much money.
Yeah.
Candy Crush, all these free-to-play iOS games that, you know, have in-app purchases, which are just... You end up spending so much. It gets out of control. It's psychologically quite sneaky, and I think.
Yeah, and
the
it's
way
easy
it makes
to,
you spend
it,
money.
It's easy to fall into the trap of thinking, like, I'm just going to buy this one thing because, you know, like, I've played enough this game now. You know, I want to get something. And then before you know it, it's like...
Do you know, those justifications are fine. People justify it. They say, oh, you know, I've got a lot of fun out this game. I don't mind putting 20 quid in. I don't mind putting 30 quid in.
Yeah.
But it ends up being a lot more than that. I think, like, when you look at the amount of money I've spent on, let's say, Hearthstone versus World of Warcraft, right? I spend fucking, like, 60, 70 quid on packs every expansion on Hearthstone.
Yeah.
You know, I've probably spent more money on Hearthstone than I've ever spent in 10 years of World of Warcraft subscription. And that's, you know, a long lot of fucking money.
But even World of Warcraft's got cosmetics and stuff that you can buy. Like, now you can even buy all the old transmogs. You know, like you can buy like the flaming crown.
I mean, the cash shop in World of Warcraft was only a matter of time because all the other MMOs have kind of taken that on as their entire business.
I also think like companies want to move away from that subscription model because for some reason people would rather have that choice even if they end up spending more. And I honestly think if you're calling it a sort of deceptive or like it's tricky or
the subscription model
cynical
is dead,
or whatever.
Really.
Right, but that's the thing. If a new game came along that said, we're going to be the next World of Warcraft. It's a subscription model. People would say, oh, no way.
Well, no, but it's been tried and tested and failed though. You know,
but that's why they
the fact
have
is that World of Warcraft was subscription and will always be subscription
because
they can get away with it. Right?
They can.
Because people have got that investment in their account.
Right, right.
You know, it's not going away.
It's a bit
that's
crazy
how it
to
was
think,
when it started.
Though, that it's subscription-based plus you have to pay for the expansions.
Yeah, like, that is
and the expansions,
crazy.
There's enough value. You get enough value from it as if it was a full game. Because the expansions are big.
They charge it because they can charge it.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, and it's their business model. It's always been there. They were the first. They're going to... That's just how it is. I think that when you're having to compete with something which is that, you have to... give it, but you have to offer better. I think, you know, when you look at things like Guild Wars 2 or recently the Black Desert Online, which sold, I think, 400,000 copies in its first month, which is a lot. So it's a Korean MMO. I haven't played it. I've heard a lot of people talking about it and saying, hey, you should play this. Ugh. It sold 400,000 copies in the West, but it's a one-time purchase, right? So no subscription. I'm assuming there's probably like in-app shit or free-to-play bollocks in there. But as far as I'm concerned, you buy the game one time, you get the game. I think that a lot of people these days are surprisingly unwilling to even pay that £40 up front in the first place.
I got it.
You know, this is what we're talking about here.
And I played it for 5 minutes, Lewis.
Exactly. And so you really have had a bad experience there by buying a game outright. Do you know what I mean? So would that be better if it was free to play? Because, you know, you maybe their model is the better one for them because they know that it's a shitty game that no one's going to buy anything free to play in because they're going to quit it after 5 minutes.
But let's just get the 40 quid
up front. And
if you look at the European website for Black Desert, it doesn't have anime on it that I could see. I just looked at it, I thought, wow, this is good. And people said Black Desert is good. I was like, oh, cool. So I looked at the thing. I was like, oh, that looks pretty good. Anime! In my game!
Surprise anime.
This anime. I was appalled. I was looking at the character and I was like, wait a minute. This is looking a little anime. I was like, maybe it's not too anime once you get into the game. Maybe it's just a couple of the characters.
Okay. Yeah. And then it's just full anime. Rainbows and fucking ponies out of left field.
It's like, oh my God, it's full on anime. And it's just, it's incredibly complicated. I open up the menu. There's like a billion buttons. I was like, right, fuck this. Just write it off. £40 wasted. I can live with it.
Steam refunds?
No, I didn't get it through Steam. I bought it through their cocking website.
Man, Steam refunds is something you hear a lot.
I've Steam refunded a lot of shit lately. Like, fuck me. I love Steam refunding game. It's kind of like rage uninstalling.
It's like your own personal fuck you to
it. It is. It's great. It's like, hey, you made a shitty game and you think you screwed me over? Fuck you. I played your game for 20 minutes. I had an okay time, but I'm going to refund it. Fuck you.
Yeah, I did that with Rainbow Siege 6 or whatever it is. 30 minutes
Tom,
I played
Tom
that
Clancy's.
Game for, yeah.
Hey, you played The Division too, didn't you, period?
Yeah,
because we have 2 weeks of games to catch up
we
on.
We do.
And what'd you think?
I got to level 28. I've finished the single-player content of the main story, and I was about to venture into the Dark Zone, but you can't go into the Dark Zone alone once you get to a certain level.
Yeah.
When you're low level, you can sort of dance in and out, grab a few guns and hop out. But once you get to the later stages, you better be piled up because it is hardcore in there. It's ridiculous.
There's a PC Gamer article about the Dark Zone claiming that it was both broken and beautiful at the same time.
I agree.
So
with
what is
that,
a PvP area?
Yeah.
With free killing.
Well, no, because it's actually quite clever what they've done. I haven't seen this. I haven't seen this before. It's been in other games. I haven't seen it. So you're all meant to be Division agents, right? You're all technically on the same side. But when you
For people who've never played Division like me, who have no fucking clue what it is.
Okay.
Is it like Borderlands?
You're like sleeper agents sort of thing. So you're like a dad in his jeans sitting down for dinner with your family and like the worst thing possible happens to New York City and then they awaken like these dormant agents to save the day sort of thing. So it's like, we don't get attached to anything. You know, we leave everything right away so that we can save New York City. So there's like this big fucking like bio bomb.
Yeah, there's been
or
like a virus. Some guys developed a virus. Yeah. They put it on money. Yeah. And of course, everybody's handing money all day. So they all get the virus. A ton of people die. And New York is then overrun by these gangs. And you got to try and figure out what's behind that. I'm not going to give away the story. Yeah. It's not a particularly original story.
So what game is it most similar to?
It's a cover shooter.
Don't say
some people have said Gears
Tom
of War.
Tom Clancy's X. Yeah.
Some people have said Gears of War because it's basically a cover shooter. So you're running around. It's you have to shoot the enemies quite a bit. But it ended up not bothering me. No, it's third person.
Third person.
Yeah. So you're running around, hiding behind cars. You've got a variety of technological gadgets to bail you out, like a little turret you can deploy. You can deploy a little cover if you need cover. And stuff like that.
So you level up and it's like an RPG, you collect guns.
It's mainly loot hoarding. So you get your guns, you mod them, you get upgrades, you get armor and
stuff. So it's like World of Warcraft but with guns instead of
You get different cosmetic things as well, so you get like better toques.
Exactly.
And is it all sort of solo leveling, single player story type content like World of Warcraft or what?
You can party up for it. You can go in a group. I didn't have to. Like if you just do them on normal, I did them all on normal difficulty.
But is it like a world, like a big MMO world where you wander around and there's people doing the same quest as you?
No.
It's like lots of bad guy down the street stuff.
No.
So like, if you go into a safe house or like in your base or whatever, you'll bump into other players, but then when you exit out, you're like in an instance, like a group.
Your single player instance is just you.
You can solo the whole way up. Never really see another person until.
A lot of people say that it's a very fun game when you play it with friends. So if you have a couple of people that are willing to do it with you, then it's a pretty enjoyable game. Solo experience, I don't think is too bad. I played it up to level 15 or so, I think, solo, and I enjoyed it enough. But I thought it was pretty good. I loved the look of New York City and stuff in the game. It blew me away.
The game looks beautiful.
Incredible.
The detail that they've got in the environment is remarkable.
It's unreal,
It really
is. It must have just taken them so fucking long to do.
Yeah.
Like, it's nuts. Really
like
good.
Even just you go into an office, like some of the you can sort of harvest gear. So you go into like a shop and you can find fabric to help you craft items and stuff. So you go into the shop and it's so much detail. It's just
GTA
unbelievable. 5,
like, you know, you go into a house that you can go into and it looks like
It looks like somebody's house.
Shit everywhere.
You can inspect every angle of it. There's the kitchen, there's the bathroom, and it all looks 100% like beautiful. It really is a gorgeous
game. So how much
gameplay
is there to level 28, like the end of the story?
I goofed around quite a bit. I think I got about 60 or 70 hours out of it. I played it quite a bit.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And then there's expansions. There's two expansions coming out this year for it as well. So more story content and stuff, and probably changes to Dark Zone or whatever. So it's a game that'll just keep sort of
with the Dark Zone, you go in and you can party up and you can get into a group and stuff. But let's say I see another agent. Because in the Dark Zone, the whole point is you lose your communication with the central agency. So you're pretty much on your own. So people can go rogue. If you go rogue and kill another division agent, you get a red skull over you for like 3 minutes or something. And everybody in the area can see you on their minimap as a red skull. So they all hunt you. If they kill you, they get a bounty. And also, if you die in the zone, you drop everything you're carrying. And people can loot the public items that you drop from your body. So if you've got some amazing gear, you then want to get out of the zone. But here's the catch. You can't just dip in, grab the gear, and run out. You have to go to a pickup zone. And you have to stand there. You fire a fucking flare into the air. And a helicopter's like, we'll be there in 1 minute. So you have to stay in this area for 1 minute. And everybody on the map can see pickup zone activated on their minimap. So they all come over to kill you and steal your gear. And you have to wait.
Oh,
and then
man.
The rope comes down. You've got to walk into the middle of the road, tie your shit to the rope. And there's NPCs attacking as well. It's so hard to get gear out of the zone.
That sounds cool, though. Like, it sounds fun, but a bit chaotic and stuff.
It
but
is chaotic,
I can see the appeal.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
So The Division is the AAA game that came out before Dark Souls 3, which none of us have played, I don't think.
Too hard. Too hard.
Do we plan on playing it? I don't plan on playing it.
I don't plan on playing it at all.
We might Double Dragon it at some point.
Well, I mean, the PC Gamer gave it, like, 94.
Yeah.
You see that? And they said it was a real triumph. And, I mean, Dark Souls.
There's always been a lot of love.
Dark Souls had kind of a cult following, right? A cult following of people, and Dark Souls 2 had another cult following of people. And I played the original, and I played a little bit of Dark Souls 2. And I mean, I really understood that whole idea that you get so frustrated you smash your controller on the floor. Because that's what I was doing. I was chucking my controller like on the floor after I played it, and I was like, how is this game making me so angry?
Yeah,
I don't get it. You know,
yeah.
And so I think it might be something that we can look at. But man, it's supposed to be a good balance of extreme difficulty and fairly half decent storyline in Dark Souls 3. So at least this is what I'm hearing.
I've found meant to be good.
Dark Souls 2, the environment and everything is so oppressive and sort of depressing. And it's just...
Well, you're like undead, right?
Yeah, so it was just, I just couldn't handle it.
You're going through this weird fucking... Yeah, I know.
I was the same.
I couldn't like gel with it. It was like a bit too dark for me, not because like I'm a pussy or whatever, but I just like, I don't know. It's like, it's too unforgiving,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like you can just screw up so easily and then you have to retry stuff and whatever. And I'm up for that. I liked like Hotline Miami and stuff like that, which is, I guess, similar.
But that's instant, yeah. Like restart, restart, restart. And that's quick.
Yeah. It's so fast and punchy that like you get through it and it's, you know, the pacing is a bit better, I think. But I don't know. Maybe I just need to give Dark Souls like a good try or something. And
I just, we'll see. It's the loss. It's the fact that you die and that's it. Like I, you know, you've got to go back to some miles away save point. You're like, oh my god, I've got to grind my way through that guy and this bit and run all the way over here. Yeah. And it's just like I just can't do that. Like that, I did that. You know, I'm 40. I played through the generation of games that people are like,
do you know what,
it really harks back to the days when games were hard. Yeah, I've done my time, all right? I've done
But it's
10
the same thing with Super Mario Maker,
I don't need
right?
to do it again.
We've been playing Super Mario Maker this week, haven't we, a lot? Because you've been making levels on it and your kids have been playing it.
Yeah.
It's a hard game if you pick a level that you're going to take 50 times to like try and complete. You know, it's I don't think it's that different to Dark Souls in a way. Like, you know, when you go through a Mario Maker level and you get right to the end and you die... You die and you think, shit, I'm going to have to start. I'm going to have to go through this bit again. I'm going to have to do this thing again.
I mean, the Mario Maker's like Happy Wheels, isn't it? Where it's all user-generated content, right? Mm. So, like, you're at the mercy of somebody who has figured out that it's impossible to, like, get past the pipe with the flower that comes out with the spike trap right next to it and sort of thing.
And the ghost
you
and
have
the bomb.
That
1%
like the chance to get lucky and get through it. And
then
you
finally get through
further.
It and there's like a troll block above you like knocks you into the hole. And fuck!
Yeah, it's fun though. It's really fun. And really innocent too because it's Mario, right? There's nothing like aggressive or offensive.
But you like that, right? You like the challenge. You know, it's not like we are a four-year-old who has one go and is I'm done. I mean, we're coming back round to this whole like thing, you know, but it's we're going full circle in this podcast, I think. It's nice. But I think Dark Souls 3, maybe it's time for us to try it. So we'll see.
Maybe
we'll
it just is.
See.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see.
Game stuff, Lewis, do you have anything? Have you been playing anything interesting other than Binding of Isaac and the occasional game of Dota 2?
No, I've been playing a lot of Binding of Isaac this week. I'm enjoying it. I'm doing like the daily challenge. Nilesy is so good at it that I look on the daily challenge thing for where he is after I've finished, because he usually does the daily challenge as well. And sometimes Rhythian does as well. And he always comes like top 1,000 or something in the world.
Wow.
And I am like 20,000, 25,000.
Well, he's been playing it consistently for like,
but I think I do a really good job. You know, I complete the daily challenge. So you spawn, you know, I complete it.
Obviously not good enough.
But I'm nowhere near good enough, no.
Jeez.
I watched him stream it a bit and it was like pretty, it was like a different world, really. He was just much more adept, much more capable than me, much more comfortable with controls.
I feel like I would like to try that game too.
But man, I have enjoyed it. It's like an old, it feels old school. It feels hard. It feels like a bullet hell in many ways because a lot of the time you're dodging bullets and stuff. It's got a lot of little games within a game. It's RPG.
Nice.
It's collecting cool items. It's like finding the most broken combos. It's got so many games in one. It's a little bit of a bullet hell. It's a little bit of a shooter.
Cool.
It's, man, Binding of Isaac is great. And they I read yesterday they're adding like 50 more items, and Edmund McMillan posted, or is that his name, I think, posted a Reddit thread where 10 of the users submitted ideas are going to go in. So a lot of people were suggesting loads and loads of dumb shit, which some of it was really, really cool as well.
Cool.
So yeah, I saw some really cool stuff and I upvoted a few of them. But it's a contest thread on Reddit. So when you go to a contest thread, right, all the responses in there are randomized and displayed to you in a random order with no knowledge of which ones are good and bad, right?
Yeah.
So the first one I was presented with was just cancer. And then like I scrolled down. Actually, cancer is a really good item in Binding of Isaac, by the way. But
nice.
It's actually two items called cancer because one of them's the star sign.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah.
So you scroll down, blah, blah, blah. And I found a couple of good ones and upvoted them and stuff. But yeah, man, it was really, it's nice to see games that are out. You know, you buy them. I think I got it on the Christmas sale for like fucking nothing. I play it a bunch. The free updates, man, it's a pleasure. And do you know what? I might buy some merch or something, some Binding of Isaac stuff, and pay some money because I love the game so much and I feel like I want to give back. Who knows?
Nice. Bruce wants to give back.
The other thing I saw that come out this week was Enter the Gungeon. Mm. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Seen a lot of hoo-ha about it.
It's a little bit like Binding of Isaac, just without any of the... It's not really fleshed out enough yet. Like, there's only... One of the great things about Binding of Isaac is that there's so many different items and so many different bosses. You know, there's like thousands of items and hundreds of different bosses that can spawn that every time you play, you're going to get a completely different experience. Whereas Enter the Gungeon, I think, is a little bit basic at the moment. I think it's like Binding of Isaac, except there's only like five or six floors. There's only like three or four bosses that it can possibly be on each floor. And I think there's a limited amount of items. But it's kind of the game where you're... shooting your way through anthropomorphic bullets. It's a bit weird.
Yeah.
I haven't checked it out yet. I'm going to hopefully check it out and maybe we'll do a one shot on it because, man, I've been playing Binding of Isaac a lot and I love that kind of genre of game right now.
Good for that.
So, yeah, we'll check that out maybe.
Hey, another thing today, they announced BlizzCon officially.
Did they?
Fourth and
who's
the
playing
November.
At the I don't know. Playing.
Tickets are they've announced it anyway. Tickets probably haven't.
They
gone
always
on sale
get
just
someone
yet.
Quirky. I mean, and Foo Fighters, Tenacious D, Metallica. Wow. Who do you think's gonna be? Who do you think's gonna be this time?
This year, I think it's gonna be Taylor Swift.
It could be someone like I don't know. It could be someone like Green Day or someone like that. You know,
Green
it's,
Green
it feels
Day.
Like those kind of. Do you know
Green
what I mean?
Day.
Those sort of people like Sum 41.
Year? I don't remember. I didn't watch or go.
I can't remember who it was last year either, but it was someone quirky.
Weird Al.
Weird Al, that would be great. I'd fucking
Weird
love
Al
that.
Would be sweet, actually.
Holy shit, that would be fantastic.
But yeah, so if you like BlizzCon, you want to go to BlizzCon.
The Warcraft movie.
I think we're going.
Oh, we can
we're
talk
pretty
about
much
all this
going,
stuff.
Aren't we?
We're definitely going to BlizzCon this year. Yeah.
You want to go, Flax? No?
BlizzCon? Where is it?
Good to come.
It is in
Anaheim
California.
When is it?
When is the dates?
The 4th and the 5th of November. It's like a Friday and a Saturday.
I've never been. I don't really play many Blizzard games.
You should come.
I would go, but yeah, maybe.
Lots of cosplay. Lots of
cosplay
lots
for
of
characters
panels.
I don't know and games I don't really play much. And
lots of panels. So
we'll
you
bring
can
you
find
along
out all
if,
the hot sizzling.
If you're free,
I would come just for the crack. Honestly, it sounds like a good laugh.
Oh, right. It's fun. It's a good. It's a
do
good
a lot
trip.
Of crack there. Yeah,
it's a lot of crack to be done.
Sweet.
And but it's like a 10-hour flight.
No, that's all right. I've been to California a bunch of times. I like it. It's a nice place to be in November because it's warm.
It's we're going to Vegas afterwards as well.
We're going to Vegas afterwards.
Oh, shit, son. It's on. Yeah, I'm down for that.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be like a bachelor party. That's right. Prostitutes. Yeah.
I'll get divorced just so we can do it as drive-bys. A bachelor party. How about that?
Oh, yeah. You're the
That'd
man.
That'd be sweet.
Awesome. All right, well, let's end the podcast. Oh, no, we have to do questions.
So we have a couple of quick questions, and then we'll end.
From fans.
First one, Ryan James Benstead asks, all of us, I guess, any advice for someone just graduating high school going into university?
Well, I assume he's already picked his course and has already been accepted into his choice
like
of course. So we're not going to talk about choosing a course. But going into uni, just don't be a shut-in, right? Get out there.
Get out there. Go clubbing.
No. Well, don't go clubbing necessarily, but join clubs, right? So one of the first things that they usually have is a big university open day thing, right, where they have all the clubs that you can join and stuff. So you should go along to that and like sign up to all sorts of fun clubs that
don't
you think
do that
are interesting.
Shit.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
That.
Get in
what?
With the cool frat house and do a toga party and have a couple of raves or whatever.
Here's what you do, kids, all right? If you're going to university, don't stress about it. All right, don't stress about it. Your life is not going to be decided by how well you do at university. There are tons of people out there with amazing qualifications that can't do shit, and there are lots of other people with shit qualifications that do amazing. So don't feel like every essay is, oh my God, I got 58%, my mom's going to kill me. Just chill, enjoy yourself. Have a load of protected
your
sex,
mom,
get drunk, do
yeah,
drugs.
Yeah, your mom doesn't give a fuck at that point. Like, you're not going to go back and live with your mom after university because, like, you've already had a taste of what it's like living away from your mom. So who fucking cares?
And trust
your
me, your parents
your
are having the time of their life once you get out there.
Yeah,
like, you're,
absolutely.
They're like, holy shit, look at the space we've got. The house doesn't smell of masturbating kids anymore. This is amazing. The kids are out. Yeah. It doesn't smell of teenagers. It's perfect. Perfect. And they go on holiday and they can do whatever they want. They get up at like midday, they're walking around the house
it's
naked.
Not, yeah,
it's
you guys
dream.
Are right. It's not about the marks and the grades and necessarily the course at all. It's about meeting people.
Yeah.
And, you know,
setting yourself up. Try to meet somebody who is the son of somebody really wealthy.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be good.
You're sorted for life then.
My number one advice for this is that when you go to like college or university or whatever, lectures are optional. Like,
yeah,
you don't have to go to those. They're so fucking boring. Like, even if you want to do really well, you can just catch up by reading like the course material last minute and then just winging your exams.
I think the most important thing is figure out which lectures are for the hardest subjects and hit those lectures hard. You've got the tough ones you've got to go to, because the notes will be like, what the fuck does this mean? You've got to go to the hard ones.
With a guy who has really neat handwriting, not a girl. A guy who has really neat handwriting, because you want to stay friends with him, right? Make sure you stay friends with him all the way throughout the course. And then just say, can I borrow your notes one day? Photocopy them. Job done.
Wow.
Yeah. And also, you know, one day if you wake up and you're like, I want to stay home and I want to play Counter-Strike instead of going to school,
do it. Half-Life came out I was at university and I missed a full week just playing Half-Life. Yeah. It was incredible.
Counter-Strike 1.6 was my
We didn't have internet. Schooling. We didn't have internet at home in those days.
I'm not sure a lot of this advice is particularly good, but thanks anyway.
Yeah.
Next question.
Next one is from Gamma Zana. He or she asks, what are your thoughts on games having separate servers that, but no way to access them on clients? Say, like, a server having like an NA server and then an EU server, so it like segregates people out by region.
Like
sort
StarCraft
of thing.
Did that.
Yeah. Well, and you know, like most Blizzard games do that. You know, you can either play on NA or EU or
well,
Asia
the main
or
reasons is that you don't want people exploiting lag and stuff. You don't want you don't want to play on a server where half the people on that server are fucking lagging all over the place.
Yeah, that's it.
Because they're like, oh, you know, I wanted to play with my friends in America, but I got stuck here and now I'm here. I just don't want a laggy server. And they all have a bad experience too, right? I think it's to prevent like players having a bad experience by picking servers that they shouldn't be picking.
Yeah,
and having loads of lag. And
whatever,
so they don't want their forums constantly be like, wah, this game's so laggy. It's like, well, maybe you shouldn't have picked this fucking wrong server, you idiot.
I played Warlords of Draenor when it came out on the American servers, because just the timing and when I was able to play, it meant that there were no queues to get on and I wanted to play. But if I wanted to play on the EU servers, there was just queues for hours. I couldn't get on. And the experience definitely different. Like my ping was like 170 or something to the NA servers, and noticeably things weren't like always super responsive and stuff. And if you play on EU when your ping's like 30 or whatever, it's a lot nicer experience. So I guess that's why they do it. But it sucks because, you know, the internet being the way that it is, you will have people you want to play with who live in America.
You should be able to like opt in though. Yeah. There should be an opt in thing where it warns you. It says your game experience will not be optimal on these servers, but you can access them if you want.
Yeah,
you know, you should be able to.
There should be at least something that says you can transfer your account information over to like another region in the same game. Like I would have wanted to play my EU characters on North American servers.
Yeah, imagine
you
moved abroad. Yeah. You know, there should be an option for that, but yeah, who cares? It's just something we can't get around, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I think it's just the way that they get it set up and whatever.
Next question.
Kind of sucks, but you got to deal with it. Next question is from Hollow, somebody named Hollow. And the question is, what's something you've always wanted to get better at? I guess like for Pyrion and Lewis, it's Dota 2.
No, I've had years. I don't really care if I get better at that.
We can't get better.
Yeah.
Well, what's something you've always wanted to get better at, P-Flex?
I'm great at everything.
I've always wanted to get better at just cooking. I think I'd like to be a better cook.
Better memory. That would be something. Being more thoughtful. Like I don't like. For instance, my brother-in-law bought me a birthday present, and it was really thoughtful. And I've never bought him shit. Like Mrs. F always gets it and posts it. And I kind of feel bad that I lack thoughtfulness. I don't do thoughtful things that people are like, oh, what a nice thought. Because I'm just away in my own mind most of the time.
Mm. Okay.
For me, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I owned my own fishing trawler. But some things you just can't change in life. So you just got to, you know, take it on the chin and just, you know, power through it.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
But if I wanted to be better at something, I think it would be probably something like an e-sport. I wish I was better at like Dota 2 or something that I could just like go in and rinse noobs like whenever I wanted to, but I can't.
Yeah, the problem with that is that those people who are good at esports, they never play anything else at all.
Yeah,
we've had a much more rounded and variety-based experience with gaming. We've played everything from strategy games to fucking RPGs to D&D to story shit to point and clicks to Candy Crush. We played fucking everything.
Yeah.
Esports people play one game from when they're 12 to when they're 22. Yeah. That's it. That's played it. 10 years of that. And that's what we were like in Modern Warcraft. We were the best raiding team in the world, or at least in the top couple of hundred. You know, we were very high level.
Luke's a legend in his own lunchtime.
We were pretty, we were pretty big in our little world, in our little pool back in the day. Yeah. But, you know, that's because we invested the time in it. I think that's what you have to do with everything, right?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, last question before we round off then, from Alexander. Alexander asks, why did you three decide to start making a podcast? I don't know. We wanted to do something together, I guess, and podcasts seemed like the natural thing. It's like something you can meet up and do once a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just chill. There's not a huge amount of like the editing, or we've got to figure out which game, and it's just kind of like
we have shit to talk about. Yeah. And we don't really want to try and talk about that shit with while we're trying to play some stupid game, because when we're playing some stupid game, we're too busy playing the stupid game to talk about the boring ass shit that happens in our everyday lives. And so I felt like we always, you know, sometimes I come onto PFLAX's stream and I just tell him about stuff that's happened in the week. I'm not able to do that so much these days, and so this is kind of a place to just vent some of the stuff that we've been doing, a little bit of a behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think a lot of people assume that, like, you know, like last week when we didn't record, that a lot of people assume because we're all part of the Yogscast that it's like a Yogscast thing, and it's like, well, PFLAX is busy, couldn't make it. Why not just get somebody else? But like the point of it was that it was us three doing it. We have like a certain dynamic, you know, we have certain things that we like to talk about or do or whatever, and we want to keep it like that.
Yeah.
We don't want to just backfill all the time with like other people, because it, you know, it's different, and it's, you know, for people who watch it for what it is, you know, maybe they don't want, you know, they want the consistency. Maybe they don't want things changing all the time and stuff like that. So
yeah. Look, this is how we like it at the moment. It might well change. It might, you know, PFLAX and us might go away for 3 weeks. There might be no podcast for 3 weeks. Don't be mad, right? Yeah. You know, we might...
Don't get mad, get even. Make your own podcast. Slagging us off.
Yeah. That's right.
We might even get bored of doing this entirely.
Do a retaliation podcast.
You know, who knows? I might go back to streaming with PFLAX more, and this might all change, or who knows?
Yeah.
So, you
but
know, times change. Our fickle nature's change, but for now, this is what you got. So,
yeah.
Hope you enjoy
it. Nerds.
Hope you love it.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
It's a pleasure to share this with you, and I'm glad if you've managed to stick it out all the way through, especially with all these audio weird
troubles.
You're like
a real commando.
I've been talking to the back of Sips's head this whole time.
Yeah, I haven't made eye contact with
you. Very nice.
Once.
You had a haircut yesterday.
I did, yeah.
It looks great.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, really suits you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Somebody's got the afternoon planned out ahead. You two.
All right, we're gonna play.
I just remembered I'm really busy this afternoon.
Enter the Gungeon. Can we play Enter the Gungeon? I really want to play that.
Sure.
We'll have a go. All right. PFLAX, lots of love.
A pleasure
we'll
to talk
next
to you,
week,
chaps.
Friend.
Yeah, see you next week.
A pleasure.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Okay. Thanks. Peace out.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Lots of love to you all.